risen, and indeed he is risen. But what if the tomb was not empty? What if there was no resurrection? This morning for our 2017 Easter Sunrise service, church member Arnold Tevez delivers a message that explores this very idea as our church gathers in his tradition for this special time at the lovely waterside home of Elder Keith Barker. Music this morning being provided, as always, by our church family.
Dear Lord, we bow our heads before you this morning. I ask, Lord, that you would give us the ears to hear, the hearts that would be open, Lord, that anyone hearing this sermon would be moved for your glory. I pray, Lord, that I deliver this sermon and bring you glory this morning. In the name of Jesus, amen. So today we're gathered here at our annual sunrise service to celebrate Easter, or the resurrection of Christ. It's a time of chocolate bunnies, marshmallow chicks, and colorful eggs, right? Didn't you all do that? Kids, did y'all get your chocolate bunnies yet and colorful eggs? No? Oh, then I better hurry up. Also, you notice that we have a lot of food here, and I stand between you and the kitchen. And Keith has said that I have at least an hour to give this, so hang in there. So, journey with me back in time, the day that Christ was crucified, buried. Journey back with me and use your imagination. I mean, really use it as if you were there. What if Jesus suffered just as he said he would? What if he was crucified, died, and buried? Period. End of story. That's it. There's no resurrection. We're gathered here for chocolate bunnies, marshmallow chicks, and colorful eggs. That is all. What if there was no resurrection? Let me lay the scene for you here. The apostles and the women are now hiding in the upper room, the attic. They're extremely fearful that the guards are going to come and drag them away and crucify them as well. For they followed a man who is now dead. There's no hope for them anymore. Could this be us? Without the resurrection, would this be us, left hopeless? You have to realize that they were so afraid. Remember when Jesus was even just arrested and hauled away? Peter, Jesus' right-hand man, denied him three times. So vehemently was his denial the third time that he even invoked a curse on himself, saying, "I do not know the man." And maybe the curse went something like, "May God strike me with lightning if I do." Well, God didn't strike him with lightning, and that shows we have a merciful God. But this is the fear that they experienced here at this time. This is our fear without the resurrection. Ah, but Sunday morning, one of the apostles realizes and remembers that Christ said he will rise on the third day. Oh, we have renewed hope. The fear has gone. We have courage. Let us hasten down to the tomb and look for our resurrected Christ. So they run down to the tomb, but the stone is still there. It is so heavy that it takes three apostles to lay their shoulders into the stone and roll it away. And with great anticipation, they rush in, only to experience shock, horror, because the corpse that they laid 3 days ago still lays there. No resurrection. Hopeless, fearful, downtrodden, again, wouldn't this be us? Paul speaks to this a little bit, in a way, in 1 Corinthians 15. He's actually talking to the Corinthians and telling them how the resurrection of the dead is predicated on the resurrection of Christ. And if you don't believe in the resurrection of the dead, then you cannot believe in the resurrection of Christ. The theme is just the same here, as if there was no resurrection, even of Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:12. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. In other words, without the resurrection, what we believe is an exercise in futility. An exercise in futility. That's what Paul is saying. You are still in your sins. There's no salvation. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. That's it. We go to the grave. We stay in the grave. No resurrection. The corpse is still in the tomb. If in Christ we hope in this life only, then we are people that are most pitied. Most to be pitied without a resurrected Savior. John MacArthur speaks to this in his commentary on the same subject. And it reads, if the resurrection is eliminated, the life-giving power of the gospel is eliminated. The deity of Christ is eliminated. Salvation from sin is eliminated. And eternal life is eliminated. If we have hoped in Christ in this life only, we are of all men most to be pitied. He goes on, if Christ did not live past the grave, those who trust in him surely cannot hope to do so. We have no hope. You're still with me, right? We're still back in that time. We've gone to the tomb, and what we see is a body laying there. In Mark 8:31, Jesus teaches, the Son of Man must suffer, be rejected by the chief priests, be killed, and raised after 3 days. There are four things here that Jesus proclaims to his followers. He must suffer, be rejected, killed, and raised on the third day. Well, I guess 3 out of 4 ain't bad on most things, but not in this case. In this case, Jesus didn't fulfill the whole prophecy. He is not resurrected. 3 days have come and gone. In John 11:25, Jesus arrives at the tomb of Lazarus, and Martha runs out to him and says, oh Lord, if only you were here, you could have saved him. And Jesus looks at her and says, I am the resurrection and the life. What resurrection? What life? The resurrection gives life. If there's no resurrection, we have no life. We are dead in our sins. We go to the grave. We stay there. Romans 6:5 speaks to this. For if we have been united with him in death like his, through baptism, then we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. There's no resurrection. There's no uniting with Jesus. Again, there's no hope. No hope. And what about the Holy Spirit? Jesus says this, I will ask the Father, and he will give you a helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. He goes on to say, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I don't go, the helper will not come. What happens here? Will the Holy Spirit come anyway? Is there doubt now? Without the resurrection, all of the prophecies, all of the predictions, gosh, there's doubt. Would we receive the Holy Spirit? Would it be sent? Ephesians talks about it. In him, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit. But there's no resurrection. Jesus is in the grave. Could he still send the Holy Spirit? It's doubtful. No resurrection. Holy Spirit could be iffy. There's no gospel. No good news. There's no regeneration. And you all are not born again Christians. There's no salvation. This would be our fate and our faith without the resurrection. John MacArthur again speaks to this. No hope, hollow faith. And MacArthur says, without the resurrection, salvation could not have been provided. And without belief in the resurrection, salvation cannot be received. If you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. It is not possible, therefore, to be a Christian and not believe in the resurrection of Jesus. The importance of the resurrection is what I want us to focus on. Not just chocolate bunnies, marshmallow chicks, and colorful eggs. And speaking of eggs, do any of you still do this? We used to do this when I was a kid a long time ago, where you take a raw egg, you poke a hole in both ends of it, and then you blow into it, and you blow all the internals out, and now you have a hollow egg. And then you color it and hang it up as decorations. Anybody still do that? You do, huh? No, any old time? You do? See, there are still some that...
They're called
what? Okay. So what you have left is a shell, hollowed out with no substance. That would be our faith. Just a shell, hollowed out, just like the egg, with no substance. How delicate that would be if anybody would question you about your belief. It wouldn't withstand. Just like the pressure on that hollowed out eggshell, it would crumble. It would be crushed to pieces and worthless. The resurrection. That's what we celebrate. So, wasn't that a dreary and gloomy hopelessness, that little journey that you went on with me? Well, it's a bright, beautiful day, so let us bring us back to reality, where we can rejoice. John MacArthur again speaks to this, and he says, the resurrection is the pivot on which all of Christianity turns, and without which none of the other truths would much matter. Without the resurrection, Christianity would be so much wishful thinking, taking its place alongside all other human philosophy and religious speculation. The resurrection was the focal point of every truth that Christ taught. It is history's most significant event. History's most significant event. Do we give it the honor that it deserves? But how do we know that Christ really was resurrected? Paul speaks to that again in Corinthians. There, Corinthians 15:1, it reads like this. Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel, for I delivered to you as of first importance. Note that. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins. In accordance with the scriptures, his death justifies all what the scriptures say. that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day, again, in accordance with the scriptures. That takes us from a hallowed faith to a fully substantiated faith, one based on a solid foundation because of the resurrection of our Lord. It goes on. It says that Christ was resurrected and he was first seen by Peter and then by the 12 and then by over 500 eyewitnesses. He appeared in bodily form, a glorious body, to over 500 eyewitnesses. In that day, the Jews had a law that if there were two or three people that came forth and attested to the truth of a certain subject, then that subject was believed to be true. If you remember, when Jesus was arrested, the chief priests had bribed some of the lowlifes to testify against Jesus. Three or four of them came forth and said this and that. Now, untruths about Jesus. But why did they do that? Because they believe that if two or three people come forth, it must be true. And so they believe those lowlifes and what they spoke against Jesus. Well, I don't know if this is it, but God had over 500 eyewitnesses. I think he wanted to be sure that there was no doubt that Jesus rose again from the dead and that he was seen by many. The power to restore life. Only God has the power to restore life. Think of the power. What does it take to bring someone back from the dead? I don't mean that somebody is, his heart has stopped and the EMTs come rushing in and they put the defibs on him and they shock him back into rhythm. No. You have Lazarus in the tomb for 4 days. You have Jesus in the tomb for 3 days. Bodies are usually decomposing. But the power of God to raise someone from the dead in a glorious body, not a decomposed body, that is tremendous power. Power that we sometimes underestimate, but it is the power that fuels our belief. And that power is real. God is the creator of life, the taker of life, and the restorer of life because of the resurrection. Ephesians 1:18 speaks to this, sheds a little more light on things, and it says, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places. Ephesians goes on. You were dead in your trespasses. We are all dead in our trespasses. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised up. If Christ was not raised, we would not be raised up. And raised up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So that in the coming ages, he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Raised us up means that in Christ, We have been regenerated. We are born again. Seated us with him means that even in our earthly life, we who are in Christ now share a measure of that authority that Christ has. And the full measure will be when we are in glory in heaven with him. Romans 6:35 talks a little bit more about this. And in it, Paul says, this is Romans 6:3-5. Do you not know that all of us have been baptized into Christ Jesus and through baptism into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the newness of life. For if we have been united with him in death, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. Peter also goes on to speak and talk about the glory that we have in a risen Christ. 1 Peter 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again, to live, to have a living hope through the resurrection of Christ. We're born to a living hope through the resurrection. Without the resurrection, as I said, there was and is no hope. It is confirmed again in Philippians that Paul speaks. He says, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. The power of his resurrection. Amazing. Just amazing power. The resurrection of Christ, I believe, should be the most important historical event that we celebrate. I want to point us to that. It should be the most important historical event that we celebrate. 1 Corinthians, now I, Paul, remind you, brothers, of the gospel that I delivered to you as of first importance. Christ died for our sins. He was buried, and he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. The resurrection justifies the truths that are in the Bible. It's not hollow. It's all truth, because Christ fulfilled everything that was predicted from the beginning of time. Everything recorded was justified and confirmed by the resurrection. We have a Christian faith that is not hollow, as I said. It is filled with true substance, the power of God in the resurrection. The resurrection of Christ signifies that God was pleased with this sacrifice. And therefore, our sins have been atoned for. We can count on that. We can take that to the bank of God. It means that we are born again, and that the Holy Spirit, that we wondered if was going to be sent or not, is accounted to us as a guarantee of our place in Christ. It means that we can approach the throne of God and cry out, Abba, Father. And we can do that with confidence because of the resurrection. The resurrection of Christ signifies the most important historical event that we as Christians should honor and celebrate. That's what we do today. And I pray that we do it with honor and in true celebration. Deuteronomy 6:5 says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength. and you shall teach this diligently to your children. Brothers and sisters in Christ, may I suggest that we teach the resurrection of Christ diligently to our children. Amen. Amen.
Well, that's going to wrap up this special bonus sermon. We hope you enjoyed our Easter Sunrise Service message. You can find out more about us and listen to past sermons at scandybiblechurch.org. And if you like what you hear, tell a friend. And of course, we want to invite you to join us via podcast for our Easter service from the Scandy Bible Church pulpit, which will be delivered a little later on today by Pastor Monty Seamow. You'll find that just above this one on the website. So until next time, for all of us here at Scandy Bible Church, may God richly bless you.